All right, don't all talk at once.
I was waiting to see how long that would go on.
Hey, fellow squirrels.
Good evening.
It is squirrel chat.
Did everybody have a good week?
It's been an interesting week.
Yeah, it's been a weird week.
Just be glad you're not the mayor of
Baltimore. She's resigning finally. After her, what was it, Healthy Holly books scam?
Yeah, she tried to pretend like there was something medically wrong with her.
Well.
She was incapacitated and couldn't talk to anyone. And then.
Except her lawyers.
Yeah, well.
You know, it is funny to me that anyone ever called her out on this. Because it's like, meh, what's a $500,000?
Well, it's also, I mean,
between Democrats, like, what's a right. $500,000 worth of graft? Like, yeah, okay.
But I mean, and plus the shady book sale thing is like stock and trade for Democrats.
Yeah. Yes, that's what they do. This is how all Democrats get rich, right?
Yeah, they sell.
I'm waiting to see what AOC, what her first book deal will be. Right. She'll get one, of course.
They quote write books and then they quote get paid for them. And somehow that doesn't turn out to be, you know, illegal campaign contributions or whatever.
Right.
And suddenly they're, you know, millionaires.
Right.
Bernie.
I mean, they get the advance for the book, right?
Yeah.
The publisher gives them like millions worth of an advance for a book.
Yep.
And then the book gets published and then it undersells. Oh, well, you know, oh, we didn't expect it to undersell so badly.
Or rich supporters buy, you know, thousands of copies and give them away to people or, you know, burn them or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, they do love burning books.
I mean, I figured this book thing was pretty much the same thing. I mean, she had a scam where, you know, people bought the books. And apparently my theory is she pissed off somebody else in the Democrat Party.
Yep.
That's a good bet, yeah.
That's what turned around and bit her because
she
apparently had some sort of contentious campaign with, you know, and I mean, you got to like all the newspaper articles. It's like the mayor of Baltimore, and you still have to play guess the party on most of the articles about her.
I would think it would be understood at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that that's really, I don't think that's so much an omission as a, well, duh.
It could be. But that's my theory is she pissed off somebody else and in the Democratic Party and they
she was supposed to deliver something she didn't, or she was supposed to back somebody and she didn't, or she backed someone's opponent.
Right. She pissed off somebody in the election and you know, there's all kinds of stuff. What was that guy she was running against? She ran it's a fairly contentious campaign about her opponent. Anyway, it almost doesn't matter except who was the previous Baltimore mayor in the past decade to leave office while facing corruption allegations?
The Irish guy, right? Am I wrong?
Lloyd?
I don't know. But she's like the second one. It's almost as bad as Chicago, right? Where you don't, it's like the previous mayors of Chicago are serving time and
or Massachusetts speakers of the House.
Yeah. Same thing.
They had literally three in a row go to jail.
Yeah. So anyway, that's fun. The party of
I'm thinking a different Maryland guy, probably the governor. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to mention, you know, as far as the politician book thing, I'm doing my part.
Oh yeah.
Because I get to order audiobooks for the library, and many times audiobooks are more expensive than actual books. And I have ceased to order politician books.
Yeah, because nobody ever checks
them out. Yeah, nobody ever checks them out. And furthermore, it's like, I'm not playing that game. I'm not giving my library's money to some politician, so.
Nobody
reads them. No, they don't. And even hard copy books, nobody takes it out. It's because people are sick of politics.
Right.
You know, you get politics all day long on the internet, on TV, on the news. You get politics all day long. It's because our political cycle never ends, yep. Right? So people don't want to read like Hillary's latest, you know, blah blah. Oh, did you see where Hillary and Bill are going around doing talks?
Really?
Yeah. They're like going around to different venues and, I gotta look this up. Hold on. They've been going around on a national speaking tour.
That's
and
together.
Together. Yeah. That was also one of my reactions. I was like, wait, they're doing this like together. Yeah.
Well, that if I were a betting man. And I'd say Hillary can't draw a crowd, Bill can. And if she does something, they've been out of power so long, anything they have to offer is done.
Mm-hmm.
I also find it very interesting that they're competing with Barack Obama, who is giving multiple six-figure speeches.
Is he, though? You don't hear about him at all in the news, really.
Of course you don't.
Yeah, he's doing the corporate gig where he's
he's
going around getting hundreds of thousands of dollars for talking for 30 minutes or whatever.
Everything he railed against.
Yeah.
You know, and then he realized that, oh, I can make lots of money this way.
Yep.
So recently, and I think, where was this? It says the New York Post's Maureen Callahan paid $210 to attend the 90-minute talk. And she wrote that the most exciting moment of the night was when a man in the front row stood up and interrupted. So a dude in the front row yells, "Bill, this is boring."
Wow.
And as he tried asking his question, "Why don't you talk about..." Hillary interrupted him, saying, like, trying to, like, talk over him. And then the man shouted, "Jeffrey Epstein."
Oh!
Jeffrey Epstein, the guy with the...
Yeah.
The Lolita Island, where he had, like, all those girls prostituting themselves on his private island.
Yep. That Bill went to how many times? 20-something?
Yeah. Right. 26 flights. 26.
I wonder how many times Biden went.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, you know, I know Joe Biden is like the front runner now, kind of, for whatever they've got going on. But I can't wait. I cannot wait. Like, you know, bring it.
You watch that
creepy. I can't wait for the details.
You watch that creepy dude and see what he does in public. And it just makes me wonder, what does he do when nobody's watching? I mean, if he already can't control himself when the cameras are rolling, what is he doing, you know, when they're not?
Well, he doesn't, I think, a powerful man, you know, vice president of the United States, and he has been in positions of power for a very long time. He probably doesn't realize he needs to control himself because everybody's like, oh, well, he's powerful. You gotta be nice. You gotta smile and you gotta take it and you can't rock the boat, you know.
Yeah. This is also
little girls are taught that, like, you learn that very quickly, like, you know, like, oh, just be nice and just, you know, whatever. He's, you know, don't make so-and-so mad or don't embarrass daddy or, you know, whatever. So you have to stand there and take it while the vice president of the United States gropes you in front of a camera. I can't imagine being one of those girls growing up. Like, they're little girls now, but they're not going to be little girls forever, but the internet is forever.
Yeah.
So they're going to see themselves and have that cringe feeling for the rest of their life. And it's so sad. Because those are instances like when you're growing up and that happens to you, that sort of thing happens to you as a girl. It's like, those are things that you try to like forget. You work really hard to not think about it. But there it is. Everybody on the internet has seen you being groped by Joe Biden.
So, you know, it's like people don't remember the 88 campaign at all,
mm-hmm.
and why he quit.
Why did he quit?
Because he plagiarized another author's work in law school. And, you know, he plagiarized campaign speeches and did all this stuff and was forced to withdraw from the campaign because of all this plagiarism.
Wasn't there like he was forced to like give a speech about that? Like, oh, I'm so sorry, I plagiarized.
Yes.
Did that ever happen? Yeah?
Yes. Oh. Yes, he did. And then, you know, he also was the guy that was in charge of the Bork thing. He was, you know, he's the one that helped kill Robert Bork from being a Supreme Court justice. You know, for no damn reason other than, you know, that was like the trial run of Kavanaugh, right? Bork, you know, and then they tried again with Clarence Thomas and they failed, and they tried again with Kavanaugh and they failed. You know, so finally the Republicans were warming or, you know, catching on to the Democrat playbook and not buying into it. But, you know, Biden's, I don't know. It's like, you know, the typical Democrat thing where history started this morning.
Yep.
And they don't remember what a disaster Joe Biden is. I mean, it's like Gaffetastic Joe, you know, he can't open his mouth without saying something stupid.
You there in the front, stand up.
And
to the guy.
Stand up, Chuck.
Yeah. And this is the guy that is like the front runner for the Democrat nomination. Are you fucking kidding me? How low do your standards have to be? I mean,
got the name recognition.
That just shows you how awful the rest of the Democrat candidates are. If Joe Biden's the best of what you got,
look at the rest of the field.
Yeah, I know. They're all pathetic.
You know, I mean, Seth Moulton. I mean, like who?
Who? Yeah. I'm saying who?
Well, you know, the Republicans got lucky. They don't realize it, and a lot of them don't understand it, but they really got lucky when Trump decided to run as a Republican, because the Republicans are just as awful. If you look at the not Trump candidates, they were every bit as bad, except for maybe Ted Cruz, who has no personality.
Right. But yeah, it would have been Cruz versus Bush.
Right.
Jeb.
Yeah. And
they were handily offered up yet another Bush.
Right. And Jeb Bush would have won the nomination because, you know,
would have got,
about no personality.
And then it would have been Jeb and whoever, you know, his running mate was against Hillary. And guess who would have won that election?
Oy.
Yep.
Cause there's no way in hell Jeb Bush would have got people to come out and vote for him.
No. Do you think the American public is sick on a certain level of the same families running?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like the Bushes and the Clintons and the, you know, whatevers.
Well, the
Kennedys. They were talking about the Kennedy.
Oh, I know.
Kennedy. I just saw something. Who's the redheaded ginger Kennedy boy? Joe Jr. maybe, or
not Patches.
No. Whoever it is. Anyway, I read an article about the last Kennedy. Like, really? Like, we have to, it's this like a monarchy? It was just weird.
They're trying to get Beto to be a stand-in Kennedy. Except Beto ran home because his Nobody would show up at his campaign events. I saw the headline was like tens of people show up at a Beto rally.
But Beto went home because he had to go find his lost turtle. Yeah, I love him.
He said that, but
yeah.
Well, it's important.
I question the
veracity. I don't. Mm-hmm. I know how tricky turtles can be, and they just want to go. They want to escape.
Yeah.
The turtle, but nature's suction cup.
It's a water turtle too. It's like a little. Oh, so Beto's his turtle named Gus has gone missing. So Beto left the campaign trail because he had to go find his turtle.
Well, maybe that'll take a few years and he can go find his turtle.
So now the article I'm reading on Splinter News is referring to him as Democratic presidential candidate and failed turtle father. Oh, poor Gus.
Well, you know, if you can't keep track of your turtle, how are you going to be president?
Well, that's true. You know. Poor Gus.
Hey, Jay, have you seen Game of Thrones?
I have. I've seen the whole, all of it.
So you're up to date.
I knew you would have seen it.
I am. It's pretty obvious that George R.R. Martin is a hack who just ripped off Tolkien.
Yes.
And, you know, but it's still,
Wait. Let me interrupt for just a second.
Spoilers.
There's going to be spoilers. I'm sorry. Suck it up. If you haven't seen the episode by now, then just turn this off or you don't care or you're not worthy or whatever.
Go ahead, Jay. Keep listening. So I was just going to say I find the series well directed and well acted, which is pretty rare.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it too. And I have not read the Game of Thrones series, but I've read some of the other stuff, or I've tried to read some of the other stuff by George Martin. And I find him wordy. In fact, Game of Thrones is probably the first time that if I had read the book, I probably would have been glad that they cut a lot out of it to make the videos. Because that is one wordy son of a bitch who needs an editor desperately.
It's like he gets paid by the word.
Yeah. He needs to cut his books like in half and then in half again. And then it's about the right size. It's insane. So, what'd you think about the dark episode?
They turn up the bright.
Turn up the brightness to 100 episode. Good Lord. I know it happened at night, but Jesus, you know, do the old fashioned pretend night and let us see what the hell is going on.
Yeah, it's like I'd prefer not to have to squint. Thank you very much. But, you know,
it was very frustrating. I thought it was me because I frequently have that problem. And I think it's because I'm short and I'm like looking at the TV at the wrong angle, maybe. that's my excuse anyway. But the whole episode was just ridiculous. And then when the witch came and lit all the swords on fire, I was like, oh, thank God. Now finally we can see something. Now we can see what's going on. It was quite an episode, though. They say that was the longest battle scene on film.
Really?
It was an hour and a half. It was,
I suppose.
It only just beat Game of Thrones. What's the other one? Lord of the Rings.
Helm's Deep.
Thank you, Helm's Deep. Yeah.
And neither of them had elves in them.
Right.
Yeah. But they had like a, what would you call that thing? Was it a frost giant? I mean, it's almost a frost giant.
It was a zombie.
Yeah, zombie. I know, but it was frozen, you know, it was the frozen and it was a giant. I mean,
ice zombie giant. I don't know.
A giant white.
Yeah. Oh man, that was for anybody who hasn't seen it, you know, or doesn't care. I'm sorry that we're talking about it, but it was something. It was like the most stressful TV show I've ever seen. Really. Like the whole episode, I was just, like holding my breath and like thinking, how can this keep going on? Like it just, everybody's dying and it seems hopeless and it was terrible. And then he raises the dead again. And it was like, just like, where can this go?
I thought it was going to be another one of those episodes. And it dang near was like the Red Wedding where it's like, everybody dies.
Yeah.
And like, okay, well,
there's three more episodes left. What are they going to do?
Turns out Cersei was the smart one after all.
Well, turns out Cersei's the big bad, really. Think about it. if they're leaving her for last.
Yeah. She's the final boss.
I guess.
Yeah, she is.
We'll see.
I figure she'd be worse than the what'd you call, what did it seem? The Night King? The Night King.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they, you know, couldn't give him a more original title. He's the Night King.
Yeah.
He's the Blue-Eyed King.
I thought it was funny. Okay, so there's two things that you know, I mean, we're not, this is nothing original or new, but first, what's his name? The wheelchair kid.
Bran.
It's like the whole episode was a tease, because it always looks like he's about to do something, and then nothing happens. You know, it's like, oh, he's gonna do something. Oh no. Oh, crows! He's taking over the crows. Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, he's gonna do something with the.
There was a lot of that the whole episode, though. Sure, it was a big giant battle, and a lot of people died, and you know, but the whole thing just felt like build up, and then kind of anticlimactic. Like, sure, you spent eight whole seasons like going after the Night King and these zombie wights, and you know, all this stuff, and build up, and great battle, and all this stuff, and then like the actual final moments is kind of like, that's it. I mean, I hate to disparage, you know, their victory over the Night King, but I just kind of felt like, oh, okay, that's it. All right, then.
And of course, you know how I think. You know, my first thought at the end of that, when the Night King shatters and the zombie army falls apart.
And you say, he's not really dead?
No. My first thought is, who's going to clean up all that fucking mess? Because everybody's dead.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is, okay, so the 10,000 Dothraki.
Gone.
8,000 Unsullied, gone.
Gone, yeah.
Most of the wildlings, gone. I'm very curious to see how they set up.
Who the fuck's going to fight Cersei now? There's nobody left.
Dragons. There's
five people left.
Yeah.
They're gonna get wiped out by Zombie Mountain in the first 5 minutes. We're going to be treated to three more shows of Cersei torturing people to death.
Yeah. And what's his name? The guy from the Iron...
Oh, Euron.
Euron.
Yeah.
Euron Greyjoy.
Yeah, that guy. Wow.
He's actually Euron Dirt.
I kind of feel like I need to watch the whole thing over again. Now that you know kind of like what has happened, you know, and what the kind of the story and the story arcs of the characters, it would be interesting to go back and kind of look at it again, knowing what you know now, you know. I don't know.
Be a lot less stressful.
Yeah. And you could turn the brightness way up.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder how many people have PTSD from that episode. I mean, seriously.
It was pretty. I had to pause after the giant got killed. I'm trying not to give too many spoilers. Yeah. I had to pause because I was like, I had a moment. I was like, okay, this is too much. I can't watch anymore.
Yeah, that was
the moment. But then you have to watch.
That was the moment where I was like, fuck, they're going to kill everybody. Nobody's going to make it out of here alive. Crazy.
I love modern, you know, TV and filmmaking, because they're telling stories now that like really they could never have told before. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that when I was watching Aquaman. I was thinking there's no way this movie could have been made any time before now. I mean, they could have made it, but it, you know, visually it just not as good.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
And about, I'm not just talking about Jason Momoa. I'm just saying. Although that helped a lot. But yeah, I don't know. And same thing with Game of Thrones and a lot of stories. Recently, I watched a documentary, and it was about it was about Dune, and there's this kind of like crazy artist guy.
They did, you know, you were talking about the, they couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the name of the documentary is Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh, I've got that.
It's incredible. And he had this whole vision for filming Dune, but in the time that he had the vision, and it was like in the 1970s, yeah, and everybody was like doing drugs and having these great artistic ideas, and like they wanted to do this film, but it wasn't really possible,
right,
to do it the way they wanted it, because, you know, technology hadn't caught up with the idea.
Right.
So, yeah.
The giant worm they had prepared for the movie wound up in Tremors.
You're kidding, really?
I am kidding.
Oh.
Jay.
Didn't it? That sounded awful.
It did. It sounded legit.
They did do a sort of an Aquaman. They stole Aquaman in the 70s.
Jackson.
The man from Atlantis.
Mm.
And it was about as cheesy as you could imagine. Like all 70s shows were. I mean,
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
Wow. You know, think of the cheesy shows from the 70s that we all sat there and watched, because we only had three channels. We didn't have VCRs. We, you know, if you wanted to watch something on TV, you had to watch it when it was presented or wait for a rerun.
You know, Alan.
What, Jay?
Chips. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Chips. Fantasy Island. The Love Boat. Those were popular shows. Those were
What is the
hit show?
Southern show with a car. Help me out.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Dukes of Hazzard was like on Amazon Prime or something recently, and Mike had never seen it. And he's like, and of course we had been drinking a little, and he said, I've never seen Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, let's
watch an episode. And so we watched the pilot episode, I think it was. It may still be on Amazon Prime. I don't know. But we watched the first episode, and I said to him, I said, okay, there, you've seen it. Because every episode is like that. It's like the same show over and over.
It was awful. It was. Oh, look, there's Daisy Duke and her cutoff.
Daisy Duke. Yes.
There's a car, and the car does a jump, and it's the same fucking jump every single time.
Yes,
they never change it up. I frequently like to torture my daughter when she's here visiting by showing her awful, awful TV shows from the past. And last time when she was here, I showed her Greatest American Hero.
Oh, my God. Robert Culp.
And we got – we didn't even get to Robert Culp. We were like 5 minutes in of the pilot episode, and she turned and looked at me and says, please turn it off.
Make it stop, Dad.
Oh my gosh. The blonde guy with the afro, right? Oh,
it was yeah. It just, I mean, TV and back then was just so god awful. That, I mean, people, I'm serious, kids today, you have no idea how good you have it.
Get off our lawn.
You have no idea how good you have it.
Rita, do you know what show my wife and I wound up watching the pilot for?
Uh-oh, what?
The same thing. We're like bored, kind of flipping through, and we came across the free shows. The pilot for the A-Team.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God. 1982 in all of its glory.
Woo.
I mean, you know, George Papard doing the Ching Chong Chinaman.
My gosh.
Ike Schultz making fun of mental illness and PTSD. I mean, it's all there. The only thing they didn't have was Apollo. I mean, Dirk Benedict as face. He was actually not in the pilot. Some other guy, some other stock Hollywood actor. In fact, it was the same guy that took over the Police Academy franchise when Steve Guttenberg left.
Oh, wow.
I mean, talk about B act. I mean, I don't even think he qualifies as B. I think you got to go down to more like L or perhaps N.
No kidding. We'll work for food.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was just, we're watching this pilot. We're like, how did this ever make it on television? It was like, we watched the whole thing because it was like, it's so horrifically bad. It's got to get better at some point. The show ran numerous seasons and it never did.
Yeah. Some network executives watched that and went, oh yeah.
Like, first of all, they're this underground group being hunted by the government, driving around in a giant custom conversion van. This is not hard to spot, folks.
What you talking about, fool?
you concatenated a little Arnold Drummond there, but that's okay.
Yeah, well.
Season 5. They lasted 5 seasons.
Oh, I know.
5.
I want to know who did the Mini 14 conversions for them.
I'm not going to do the conversions. No. That's the AC-556.
And then
of course, when you Wikipedia it, all of the 80s TV shows pop up. Like Alf.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Alf and Knight Rider. Those are the first ones.
Oh, that pop Knight up. Rider. Yeah. Oh, Baywatch.
Baywatch, that's right. The Hasselhoff.
That's a little later, but that's
same
genre, I would say. Cheesy, stupid. What the hell were they thinking? You know, the 70s and 80s are just littered with crap like that. You know, $6 million man.
Yeah, Steve Austin.
You know, I mean,
not old Steve Austin.
You know, it's. And people watched it and like lots of people watched it. Like,
you nail on the head. That's all we had.
Yeah.
That's literally all we had. There were 3 channels. Yep. Like, people don't understand it.
Yeah. You were either watching something like that. Actually, you know what? I spent a lot of time watching like Gilligan's Island on the UHF station.
I Love Lucy.
Yeah. It was actually Luna. Better.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Father Knows Best. Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, My Three Sons. The Many Loves of
Dobie Gillis. That's right. Oh, my God. The Honeymooners.
Yeah. Yes, Domestic Violence is funny. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. TV, we are definitely in a golden age of television programming. There is no doubt about it. Movies, not so much. TV is really excellent. Episodic television is, I don't think it's ever been better.
I just found a good kind of tie-in to, well, anyway, segue. Okay. Apparently the guns of John Wick made the rounds in the Indy National Rifle Association meeting.
Oh.
And I just this past weekend watched John Wick.
And what did you
think? The John Wick movies. I thought it was really, really good. But you could tell that what's his face? Keanu Reeves like really, really had a lot of like gun handling training.
Yeah.
There are YouTube videos
where it was impressive.
Where you can watch him doing a lot of his training with actual people that know what the fuck they're doing.
Taran Tactical.
Yeah.
Is it true that Keanu likes to do IDPA now and stuff, or?
I've heard that. I don't have any supported documentation for it. So maybe.
I would guess that anybody that's not deathly afraid of guns who is exposed to IDPA likes IDPA because it's just fun.
I was really impressed, and you could see that there was like, you know, he, and I liked that he had to, you know, change magazines, and, you know, it wasn't like he had the magic gun full of bullets forever. Yeah. So, and you know, you could see how, I don't know. It just was really good. And if I know I'm late to the game because these movies have been out for a while, but, I really enjoyed them. And really it's kind of, they were kind of like Jackie Chan movies where it's just an excuse to run around shooting people kind of thing. Like in an environment, like, you know, in Jackie Chan movies where they put him in like a factory.
Oh yeah.
And he's got places to jump and he's got places to run around and things to use. And it was kind of like that. Like it was kind of like that sort of situation where John Wick is in an environment that he can use and shoot people and run around and, like, you know, get behind stuff and whatever. But it was really well done and very enjoyable. Except for the part with the dog. What the hell? but yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I think there's a third movie. If it is it coming out soon or is it out now?
It either comes out this month or next month.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, I'll still wait for the DVD because I don't go to the theater.
I cannot recall a third movie that was decent. Just in any series ever.
Okay.
Well.
Well,
let's think about this. Return of the Jedi.
Ewoks.
Yeah, I know. But it wasn't awful.
So the Ewoks were in the whole movie.
It was.
They might as well have been.
It was at least they weren't Jar Jar. I mean, come on.
They weren't Jar Jar, but okay. I'll see that and I'll raise you Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was, you know.
Just, yeah. May 16th, John Wick is coming out.
There you go. 2 weeks.
I'm trying to think. I thought about the third Highlander, but that was actually the second Highlander because there wasn't a second one.
Die Hard, basically three, whatever. Lethal Weapon, same deal, you know.
I don't know. The third Die Hard wasn't that bad.
Probably
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that almost doesn't count because it was based on Tolkien. I mean, it was the book, and the book was good. So, you know, I don't know.
That's supposed to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
I'd even argue that Star Wars kind of gets exempt because it was designed as a trilogy.
Actually, it wasn't from the beginning.
It was designed as a nonology, I guess.
It was the first. In fact, the whole episode 4 thing didn't even show up until the second movie came out and they re-released the DVDs. In the original theatrical showing, it just said A New Hope. It didn't have the episode 4 crap on it. Ask me how I know.
Because you were there.
I was there.
You were bringing your grandchildren.
You know, and I had this conversation with a kid at work who is like, who has already been to see the Avengers Endgame twice. And I'm thinking, you sat through a 3-hour movie in the theater, not once, but twice. And he had this whole strategy. He was like, yeah, I'm going to dehydrate myself so I don't have to get up and go pee. And I was like, dude.
Oh, my God.
You're nuts. Hey, there's no way in hell I'm going to go see a 3-hour movie in the theater. That's insane. But, but we were having this conversation because he was like a kid when the second set of Star Wars movies came out. And so to him, those are like the good Star Wars. And I was like, well, that's your problem. that's what's wrong with your generation. You think those Star Wars movies are the good ones?
Well, see, I'll maybe not defend that, but explain it. And I'll explain it this way. To me, when you say James Bond, Roger Moore pops up.
Oh, Jay.
He was James Bond when I was a teenage boy going to the movies.
That's sad. That is so sad.
Okay, well, understandable, though.
It's again, still sad.
He's not the best James Bond by any stretch. He's not even in the top 5.
Ooh, but there's one where the third movie was good.
again, series. Yeah. I'm talking about pure. The formula works, so we're just going to keep doing it.
Oh yeah, when they start milking the franchise, that's the
end. Not like, you know, we've got a bunch of stories that are going to center around. No,
that's like, let's get these freaks. Let's suck some more money out of these people.
Police Academy. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Like we had this, you know, it was a big hit, way bigger than it had any right to be.
Right.
So
holy shit, this was, we got to do another one of these. What the fuck are we going to do now?
Yeah. That's how we'll put a twist on it. But, you know, cause I've had the same conversation with my son. Because to him, same thing. The second set, the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and Revenge of the Sith. I think those are the official titles. Those are Star Wars to him. That's what he views as Star Wars because they came out when he was a little kid.
Yeah.
And he saw it in the theater and he had all the toys. So like that to him, that's what Star Wars is. And this old grainy shit that dad showed. The fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I understand it. You know, we disagree, but
yeah, that's, he's clearly wrong.
Oh, you know, like, okay. Here's another one. Superman. Who's Superman?
George Reeves.
Jesus, you are old.
Wow. Yeah. You're old.
But Christopher Reeves.
Yes.
10 years younger than me will say Dean Cain. Oh. And then, well, no, nobody on the planet will say the latest schmuck to play him because he sucked, but I don't even know his name. The Batman versus Superman. I mean,
the guy. Mm-hmm.
The guy who makes Ben Affleck look like he has acting ability. That's how bad it was. When Ben Affleck is not the most wooden actor in a movie, unless you're remaking the fucking Wizard of Oz with a straw man.
No, I gotta know.
And I know it's a scarecrow, but Ben. People think I don't like Ben Affleck. I it's not that I don't like him. He can't act.
Henry Cavill.
He acts like Ben Affleck.
He acts like a block of wood carved to look like Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Him and Kristen Stewart from Twilight. Like each one of them, they have one facial expression.
Yeah.
Somebody could be burning them alive. Same facial expression. Murder their entire family, same facial expression. Won the lottery, same facial expression. Big O, same facial expression. Just there's no range. You know, N equals zero. And when Ben Affleck can outact you, you might want to reconsider your career path. I'm just saying.
Well, he's pretty though.
But he's not Christopher Reeve, damn it.
No, he isn't.
I mean, Jason Momoa is pretty, but he's no Aquaman, for Christ's sake. I'm like, Aquaman has blonde hair, for Christ's sake.
What? No.
Come on. And he travels around with Gleek and...
I don't know. Jason Momoa did a damn good job in Aquaman. I gotta... You know, I was prepared to like it just because I'm a fan of superhero movies. Even the awful ones I still watch. But that one, in the last decade, I put, you know, I mean, you can list the top five or so superhero movies, and I don't care how you like them, but Aquaman's got to be in the top five.
It was a good story. It was like a good, cohesive story.
And Wonder Woman's got to be in the top five, too.
Wonder Woman is the top five.
Well, I got to tell you that just story-wise, I enjoyed Aquaman better. Because I loved Wonder Woman, but it felt like three different movies to me.
That's because it was.
And it didn't like mesh together real well. Because you had the like part where she's a little girl growing up, right. And then you have the part where she's like, you know, and then you have that like weird CGI stuff at the end. It felt like three different movies.
Yeah.
Aquaman was like one big cohesive like story. And I like that. Yeah. So.
Wonder Woman suffered from a poor origin story implementation.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. I don't think
Wonder Woman suffered good. From nothing because it had Gal Gadot in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I liked Aquaman because they didn't dwell on the origin story so much. You know, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, this happened. You know.
Yeah. Like boom, there it is.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like they don't have to do superhero origin stories because we all know it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a waste of time. Don't spend an hour on the origin story. Do a 5 or 10 minute thing and then move on if you have to do it, you know?
We all know, you know, Superman. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. How many times do you have to watch the Superman origin story? How many times do you have to watch the Spider-Man origin story? How many times do you have to watch the fucking Batman origin story? I mean, good God, how many times are we going to have to sit through that crap?
Well, I'd rather sit through the same one than watch them fucking retcon it. That drives me apeshit.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
No. Batman is a transgendered furry. Like, what? What? No!
Actually, I don't even consider Batman a superhero. I mean, well, you know, it's like in the, what was it, the movie where they were all together,
Super Friends.
Was that it? Anyway, she asked the Wonder Woman asked him what his superpower was, and he goes, "I'm rich." Was it Wonder Woman that asked him? Somebody asked him what his superpower was, and he goes, "I'm rich." And that's really it. I mean, he's just a rich dude. He has nothing else.
Stark. That's all it is. I mean, Tony Stark's the same way.
Yeah, but Stark's not a hopeless. I mean, I like Tony Stark. I don't like Batman.
I'm supposed to like that. I mean, he's supposed to be scared.
He's a jerk. I don't like him.
That the geek episode.
I root for the villains on Batman. I mean,
the villains are more interesting.
They're way better.
Which does make me. I've been seeing the trailers for Joker.
Yeah.
And Joker's actually what I had in mind with retconning the origin story. Because yeah. now he's the fucking caricature Columbine. Oh, he was picked on, and that's why.
Yeah.
No, he's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
The psychopath who enjoys hurting and killing.
But that's the whole thing is the bad guys in and this is where Hollywood screws up with bad guys because they try to give them depth and they try to give them, you know, they try to give a, you know, like that acting thing where they're like, what's my motivation, you know, and bullshit like that. What Hollywood doesn't understand is superhero bad guys are two dimensional. They're designed to be two dimensional. They're supposed to be two dimensional. They're bad. They exist to be bad. And the reason they exist is to be bad. That's all they are.
Eat them. That's right. That's the only
reason they exist. And you know, it's like Pinky and the Brain. You know, what are we going to do today? We're going to plot to take over the world. That's why they exist. That's it. That's all they need. They're bad. They're crazy. Whatever. They don't need an origin. Bad guys do not need an origin story at all.
That's kind of why I like, well, not The Tick, but
the tick is funny. Come on, Jay.
I love. No. I'm sorry. Where I was going is I would love to see a superhero movie where they just fight ordinary criminals. I think you've got a good movie there.
Yeah.
You got a Superman and he's just kind of like, flying through crack town, stopping crackheads from mugging people. You know,
it would be good enough. Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, none of this grand, you know, you've got the evil midnight bomber, what bombs at midnight. That is a tick, by the way. And I started to say, well, the Tick does that, but no, you've got Chairface Chippendale and this bizarre cast of weirdo bad guys, so it didn't really fit. But you know, but just have the superhero movie where they just do boring mundane shit, like Superman swoops in because there's a fender bender in the middle of the fucking highway and traffic's all tied up, so he just picks them up and carries them to the shoulder, you know.
Yeah, it's like blue collar Superman.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's Joe Dirt Superman. Mater Superman.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, there. Oh, that'd be funny.
You know, just you wish you could, you know, the stupid shit you don't have to deal with.
Oh, what was that?
Hancock.
No, what was that movie? What was that movie? That
thinking of.
What was the movie with the kid? Oh, God damn it.
Shazam.
No.
That's E.T. supposed to
be pretty good.
Movie with the kid. Go on.
Makes sense.
They made two of them. Kick Ass.
Oh, that was good. The first one was better.
That was almost what you're talking about, Jay. Except the superhero is not really a superhero. He's just a kid that goes out and gets his ass kicked. But that's, you know, I mean, that's kind of what that was.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mystery Man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Mystery Man was great.
Just, you know, Paul Rubens.
I actually enjoy like the B-rate superhero stories. Like,
Well, I like the tech so much. You know, you've got guys like Sewer Urchin.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that could like, oh, what was the guy on Mystery Man? The guy that could be invisible as long as nobody was looking. And he had to be naked.
Yes.
He had to be naked too.
Yeah.
Mr. Fury.
I'm the shoveler.
And then Blue Raja. Spoons and forks.
Oh yeah.
Oh, knives, you could hurt someone. Again, even that is beyond the grasp of Hollywood these days.
Yeah.
You know, just and if I'm not mistaken, Mystery Men is an adaptation of.
It is.
It's not an original idea.
No, because it's not. There's a comic book series. You know, they're going to be mining comic books for movies now for like decades. Now that, you know, the Avengers and you know, you had X-Men and then you had the Avengers and, you know, Avengers made over $1 billion its opening weekend. You know.
Yeah, they're going to be making superhero movies forever, and DC will continue to suck.
You know they're doing Squirrel Girl, right?
No way.
They are.
A movie?
Ant-Man
or a series?
No.
Yeah,
I think she's going to be shit. She's going to be on there's going to be a show called Marvel's New Warriors. Oh. And she's going to be a character. Okay.
Marvel hasn't. The Marvel movies have been great. The Marvel TV shows,
horrible.
They have not been that great.
My wife loves them, so I've seen bits and pieces of most of them.
Some of them hit or miss.
Acting is horrific. They hired worst eight actors, and it's just terrible.
I thought the first season of Jessica Jones was one of the best superhero TV episodes ever done. The first season what's his name? The guy that played Doctor Who
from me. And so I talked,
oops, sorry.
You know who, what was the Kildare? Kildare? No, that was Dr. Kildare. Help me out, Brita.
What?
The bad guy on the first season of Jessica Jones.
I thought it was Kildare. No?
No, that's Dr. Kildare was the.
Kilgrave.
Kilgrave, that was it.
David Tennant, yeah.
David Tennant was amazing in that season. If you haven't watched it, Jay, go watch it.
Just the first season. Don't
watch the second season. Not worth it. But the first season was fantastic.
Holy moly.
It was on fleek, as the kids say.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It was. But I never, the rest of the stuff is just, they try and they try and it's just not there. Which is, it's a shame because, the way they do comic books, it seems like it would naturally lend itself to episodic television, because, it's volume one, the comic books are series, right? And the way they're written, they're minimal stories. I mean, basically you get a comic book, you've got a storyboard for a TV show right there, already done. Right. You literally have to put no thought into it and they still can't manage to make it happen. I think it's because they got to fuck with it. They can't just take the comic book and recreate it, as a TV show. They have to go in and pee in it and make it their own little stupid mess, with their socially relevant bullshit and, all that kind of crap. They can't just leave it, good guys fighting bad guys or bad guys fighting good guys or bad guys fighting each other, whatever it is. They have to get preachy. I have not seen the Captain. Was it Captain Marvel? What's the name of the General Marvel? Major Marvel?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
With the girl?
With the Brie.
Brie Larson. Yeah. Woke feminist.
Brie woke feminist Larson.
I don't even think you're even going to watch that when it comes out on DVD.
I can't.
Or is it already? I don't know.
I don't know. If it gets around to being on Netflix, I can watch it without paying for it. I might turn it on just to, see if I can sit through it. But
I've heard that even the actress, she's insufferable. And they've turned it into this woke feminist thing. Yes,
that's exactly
what it's like. And they're wondering why it didn't do well.
Compared to, Avengers Endgame, which made over $1 billion.
Wasn't there like the actress came out and said that only men aren't allowed to go watch this movie for opening night. It should only be women.
I believe
something like that.
Yeah, there was something to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was ridiculous. And they wonder why it didn't do so well.
The only counter I'll offer to that is the Road Warrior reboot. That got a whole bunch of negative press as, this is a social justice warrior, blah, 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 blah. And I watched it. I didn't see any of that. It was, mindless car chase. I don't think anybody claimed it was anything other than that.
I'm sorry, where was the road? I don't remember a Road Warrior reboot.
Charlize Theron was the...
That was an excellent movie.
When did this happen?
I don't know, about 5 years ago, Brina?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Remember she was like an amputee?
Oh, that.
Yes.
Oh, Fury Road?
Fury Road.
Oh, I didn't think that was a reboot. I thought it was just...
Well, I mean, it was like the same universe. It was kind of like a reboot.
More like a continuation of the...
Yeah.
Max Rakitansky was technically in it, but he was definitely not the main character. And some people glommed on to it being Charlize Theron was the central character. So
she was fantastic.
I thought
you know what? She was a character where she... That character could have been male or female.
Right.
It didn't really matter that she was, it didn't matter so much. It wasn't really part of the story. It was just, that was her character. And likewise, she was an amputee, but it wasn't like the focus of her character. She just happened to be an amputee and that was part of her story. You know what I mean? It was like, I thought it was a fantastic movie.
I liked it.
Too. I loved it. I wanted to mention, speaking about female superheroes, when that Captain Marvel came out, everybody was like raving about this movie. Finally, we have a female superhero. Finally? Did you miss the Wonder Woman movie? Did you,
Yeah. Well, also, it's like, let's tick off the female superheroes on our fingers. Buffy. Who's the one that ran around in the fur bikini?
What? Of course you remember that. What are you talking about?
The Barbara. What? Not Barbarella.
What are you talking about?
The one, remember the one that, what's her, the one that ran around in the fur bikini, the
Barb White.
What?
All he remembers is the fur bikini.
He's just fur bikini.
Come on. You know who I'm talking about.
No, I do not.
Google fur bikini, and you're responsible for my web history, Alan.
That girl?
Lucy Lawless. What's her name?
Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah, oh, my
Xena.
God. And all he remembers is the fur bikini.
Hey.
Jesus.
That was an epic fur bikini. Come on.
All right.
Al Welch had a fur bikini in 1 years BC. So
that's true. She did.
And it was Raquel Welch. Yep. So 1966. Oh my gosh.
I mean, there's been, but to Breida's point, there's been a lot of female superheroes. Yes. There's been a lot of them.
Half of the X-Men.
Right. And it, you know, even going back into like old school superheroes, you know, the Fantastic Four, you know, one of them was a chick. I mean, there was, you know, I mean, there's been, you know, what, Supergirl. I mean, come on, there's been superheroes like ever since, like almost since the genre was invented, there's been female superheroes. I mean, Wonder Woman was obviously one of the first, you know, I mean, granted the guy that invented her was, you know, kind of into bondage and stuff, but then, you know, it's the genre. It's, you know, and go to a Comic-Con and see what you get.
You know, Squirrel Girl already beat Thanos.
Really?
Just saying. Yeah.
Oh.
With Squirrel, behold the power of squirrels, folks.
Yes. For real.
Wow, look at the time.
Hey.
We geeked out and
we did. I really enjoyed this because I was afraid we're gonna have to spend the whole time talking about political bullshit, and we managed to avoid it for the most part. Yeah. So yay us.
And I think that's what made it so much more enjoyable.
Yep. Of course, there's, you know, people listening to us are cussing at us right now for being complete idiots about
talk that. About politics and guns. Well, you know,
no,
what?
They're talking about us being complete idiots about some arcane comic book thing.
Oh, I'll guarantee that on.
I'd love to hear like the shouting about the fur bikini. Like what were people yelling about? Like Barbarella, you know?
Yeah, could be.
Like, what Xena? The hell? Barbarella. Yeah.
And Barbarella. What was she a superhero?
I don't even think she had a bikini.
No.
I don't remember.
I thought,
now that I think about it, I think that was sci-fi.
It may be. Anyway.
Anyway, I wanted to mention that very, very soon we're going to be shooting the rifle. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we joined that range, and I'll have like range reports and questions and stuff to talk about. So.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, we have to do like some sort of class. Before we're allowed to use the range, we have to do a class and, you know, gun safety and rules and all that sort of stuff.
How long of a range is it?
300 yards.
Nice.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it.
Do they let you shoot steel at 300 yards, or do you have to?
I'm not sure what the deal is. I'm sure we'll find out in the class.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is.
I love shooting steel at long distances like that.
Yes.
It's so much more fun than paper.
Yeah, paper is essentially useless.
Well, paper's good for sighting in, and that's about it. And once you're there, it's boring.
Yeah, you have to be able to shoot stuff.
Right.
I would be shocked if they didn't allow steel, just because for a rifle range you really have to.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand not allowing it for like a short range because of, you know, bounce back and all that kind of stuff. But long distance, it should be okay. Who's dinging me?
Me.
Not it.
Oh, you said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she was. Oh, that's, oh, Breida.
That's a fur bikini-ish thing.
It is. It's definitely fur.
It's Barbarella.
I'm not too far off then.
No,
I don't think that's a that's more of a furry suit than a.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what that is. She looks like a lemur. Lemur. I will put that picture on the show.
Oh, yeah. You have
it
to.
It looks like a lemur.
Hanoi now, Jane in all her glory.
Oh, man.
Now, of course, all I can hear with the lemurs are the Sacha Baron Cohen from Madagascar.
Oh, God.
I like to move it.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay, we're done.
Yep.
All right, done.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
See ya. Bye.